talking with the experts.
The power of authority in SEO, how can we leverage that experience and expertise?
It's actually the Google EAT formula. And it's funny because it's spelled with E-E-A-T. So it's two E's. It used to be just E-A-T, but then they added another E. So it stands for experience, expertise, authority, and trust. So that's the difference that makes also what this is, like your content versus AI-generated content. That's how Google separates all of that out. Because right now with AI going up, everybody's just copying, pasting content everywhere. And actually earlier last year, a couple of times, they slashed a bunch of content and penalized a few sites. Well, not few, a lot of sites for AI-generated content. But if you're following this EAT process of experience, expertise, authority, and trust, then they know that it's coming from you. And what that really means is your experiences, right? If you tell your stories, tell your client stories or your personal stories, your expertise, do you have any certification on it? Or are you parts of some groups? And, you know, whatever your expertise might be, your authority, similar to that. And then trust factor is just having your social accounts there as well, so the Google knows that you're the same person.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business, by business owners, for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson, from rosedavidson.com.au. Talking with the Experts is all about business, by business owners, for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And please like and follow the podcast on all of the podcasting streaming platforms. And don't forget to ding that bell on YouTube so that it lets you know when our next episodes are being released. Now, I have a very special treat for you today. I have two guests, Paul Counts and Shreya Banerjee, and they are going to be discussing with me, the power of organic traffic. Now, a little bit about these two. Shreya and Paul are co-founders of Marketing Counts. They are serial entrepreneurs, fractional CMOs, and advisors to the influencers. They are teachers at heart who have a passion for helping entrepreneurs and students alike grasp proven marketing concepts. They created a marketing curriculum that was in over 140 high schools and have taught marketing to numerous colleges throughout the US. Their client list includes a who's who of the personal development and influencer world, and their marketing can be seen on display with Fortune 50 companies and publicly traded organizations. They bring a process-based approach to marketing stemming from Shreya's Six Sigma Black Belt experience. Can't wait to hear a little bit about that. Welcome, both of you, Paul and Shreya, to Talking with the Experts.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. We're excited.
Yeah, I'll start with you, Paul. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you two met.
Yeah, so I've been doing the business world online I've been in business myself since second grade, basically. So I started selling pencils way back in second grade. And then one thing led to another. At 13, I started to sell custom t-shirts for a local t-shirt printing company. And it was at that point that an athletic director approached me and he was like, hey, if you want to sell outside of the school, and he knew that my desire was to sell outside of just my little small school, he gave me an athletic director handbook, which had all of the email addresses. So that was when I started to learn how to do email. And then from there, that led to an opportunity for the company I was selling for to get a website, because we couldn't send the attachments without having our own domain. Hotmail wasn't cutting it way back when. So I had to get a website. The guy that owned that company said, I was actually a teenager. He said, you wanted to get the website, you learn how to market it. So there I was, as a teenager learning marketing. And here we are going at in this business for 27 years now. It's crazy to say.
27.
I've been doing
wow.
this since I was 13. So this is year 27 of working in some capacity in the digital space. It's crazy. So
wow, that's quite a journey. And Shreya, what about for you?
So I dabbled in internet marketing back in college, but then when I was graduating, everybody told me to go get a job, and I'm a good girl. So I went and got a job. I had a corporate career for over 12 years in manufacturing and process space, very heavy, hence the Lean Six Sigma black belt, right? So I come from a very like process field, process mindset. And my son was born 9 years ago, almost 10 now. And at that point, I finally was like, I love what I do, but I want my time freedom. So I kind of came back to this because I knew this worked and I proved it to myself back in college. So came back and met Paul about 2 years into me coming back. And we started working together because we just hit it off.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we met in 2018. Yeah, started Marketing Counts in 2018. So that's when we really got going.
Well, it hasn't been going all that long, but it's quite successful in that amount of time.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, we both had our own separate businesses and then we just merged the two companies. So it's worked out really well.
Wonderful. Firstly, I want to ask a question. I'm not quite sure who wants to answer this, but how do we build an effective SEO system?
Yeah, definitely. No, I can jump in on that. It's one of our favorite topics because, you know, SEO stands for search engine optimization, and everything about it is it's keyword driven. So it's all about the keywords. It's all about, you know, how people are going to find you online. Like it's the baseline for everything, right? People start their searches, and it used to be just on Google or Bing or those kind of places, but it really is. YouTube is a search engine. Amazon's a search engine. Instagram is, Facebook is, they all have Pinterest is, they all have search features, right? So the number one baseline is you have to know your audience and what they're looking for. And there's some great free ways to get, you know, this content. And I'll have Shreya share that here.
Yeah. So one key thing to keep in mind is also the user intent, because a lot of times people think that this keyword has a really high, search volume. So let's just go for that. But what is the user intent? That meaning, is the user ready to buy, or are they thinking about just trying to figure out whether they're what they're looking for, right? And the closer they are to the buying decision and the keyword when they're ready to buy and they're searching for that particular like really targeted long tail keyword, we call it long tail, so more than three or four words together, the easier it is for you to make that sale because they're already looking for that product, right? You're not advertising to them online and hoping that they kind of land into you. I call it that. When you're running ads, you're kind of renting the traffic, right? You're renting, you're paying somebody, you're re-renting it. But this, people are actually searching for it. They want the answer and you're there providing it. Now, the traditional SEO is more Google focused, more Bing focused. But now, since Paul mentioned, SEO has gotten into the world of Instagram, world of TikTok, world of all of these social media platforms that didn't exist there. So you could use the same content. You don't have to recreate brand new content when it comes to the content strategy. Use the same content, focus on the user intent. Are they ready to buy? And if they are, educate them. That's how this new generation is buying. They're saving videos on education. And when they're ready to make that purchase, they go back to say, hey, I know this person. I like how they teach me. I like what they told me. I'm ready to purchase from them.
Yeah, I've always found that SEO can be a little bit of a minefield. you know, to me, what I am doing keyword searches, and I think, I'm searching for the right terminology for based on for what my website is about. However, it may not be what my audience is looking for. So how do I work out what the audience is looking for versus what I think they should be looking for?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say that actually, and Paul, I'll let you say the example that happened to one of our insurance agents who was set on, you know, this is the industry term, but it didn't have any searches.
Mm. Yeah, it was actually an attorney. In this case, it was an injury attorney, and they were set on the term car crash and car accident. They were saying in law school, it was actually called a car wreck is the proper term. The thing was over 90%, you know, nine times the people, like literally 900% more people were looking for car accident. So I had to let her put that aside, even though she's like, well, legally, that's not what it's called, the legal term. And I was like, you can't care about the legal term. If you want leads, you have to care about what your customers want. So, so some of the ways that you can sort out if a keyword is going to be searchable is simply going to Google. Like we share that a lot. So Google is loaded with information of basically telling you what people are looking for. So what you do is you go out to Google and you type in whatever your base keyword is. So you could say, let's say you're an attorney and you're representing people with car accidents, let's just say. So you could say car accidents and you would type that in, car accident attorney, right? And then Google's going to fill in all sorts of additional keywords people also searched for. And so you'll see that come up. They call it suggested search. Now you can scroll all the way to the bottom and Google will actually tell you exactly what people also searched for that's related to that term. So that's basically Google saying with flashing red lights, like people also looked for this. The same thing happens on YouTube. The same thing happens on Bing. They literally are telling you now, if you want to get like tools, we use a tool called SEMrush, which is amazing for keyword research, but it's kind of overkill for a lot of businesses. So we just recommend this strategy. Like if you're starting out and just want to know baseline, what are people looking for? Use Google because Google's going to tell you what people also searched for. And that's the easiest way to go. And once you establish that, you know you're targeting keywords that people want to get. And then you use those keywords in all your social media platforms. So then you start to get that reach pretty easily.
Yeah, that's a really great tip, Paul. Thanks for sharing that. I think it's really it's easy to understand for people that are just starting out who don't understand much about SEO. And SEO is a big learning curve for a lot of us. I mean, if you don't understand about search engines and keywords and all that sort of thing, and you're working blind basically, and you're just thinking, yeah, I'm just putting in whatever I think I need to put in, and bugger what the rest of the people say. So yeah, that is a really great tip. And I have noticed it, and then I have used it to say that, yeah, people are searching for this rather than that. So great tip.
Yep. Excellent. Excellent.
So how do we, so what is the power of authority in SEO? How can we leverage that experience and expertise?
Yeah, Shrey, I'll let you answer this one. This is a big one. This one's really important for
Yeah,
SEO.
so it's actually the Google EAT formula. And it's funny because it's spelled with EEAT. So it's two E's. It used to be just EAT, but then they added another E. So it stands for experience, expertise, authority, and trust. So that's the difference that makes also what this is like your content versus AI generated content. That's how Google separates all of that out. Because right now, with AI going up, everybody's just copying, pasting content everywhere. And actually, earlier last year, a couple of times, they slashed a bunch of content and penalized a few sites. Well, not few, a lot of sites for AI generated content. But if you're following this EAT process of experience, expertise, authority, and trust, then they know that it's coming from you. And what that really means is your experiences, right? If you tell your stories, tell your client stories or your personal stories, your expertise, do you have any certification on it? Or are you parts of some groups? And whatever your expertise might be, your authority, similar to that. And then trust factor is just having your social accounts there as well, so the Google knows that you're the same person. So one thing that we found out with one of our clients, they were this, they have different accounts, but their names were not the same. Or if you're two people, so for example, Paul and Shreya, rather than doing Paul and Shreya, you would do a Paul Counts account and a Shreya Banerjee account, and having them separate so that there's two authority figures rather than Paul and Shreya. And then having that match across all your social media platforms as well, that gives you, because Google is smart enough to pull all this together.
Yeah, it's a bit like ChatGPT, which I absolutely love. But yeah, if you don't put in the right prompts, it's not going to give you the right information. Great.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
so I
very
guess,
important.
so how can we use this EAT process on our websites and other things? How do we get the information into our websites so that we are ranking higher in Google or Bing, for
Yeah.
instance?
Yeah, Google or Bing. Yeah. So, absolutely. The easiest thing to do is really like we have a framework that kind of points us out. So there's about a 1200 word articles is kind of what you're going for. So You want to have the average article that ranks on the first page for not every keyword phrase, but on average, it's about 1200 or so word article. And you could start with ChatGPT as a baseline, just as long as you add in your own expertise into it. Like that's important, and make it look like it's slightly unique, or else Google's going to come back and go, "Oh, you used AI," and and ultimately you want to write for a human to read it, because the longer people stay in your site, the better you rank. In fact, one of the bigger ranking factors is if you produce good quality content. And I've been in this business for a very long time, and I've been doing SEO for an extremely long time. And it's interesting to me that SEO principles from 15 plus years ago are the exact same today. Like nothing's really changed. Like not much has changed at all in the SEO world. And I've been doing SEO stuff since, I would say, probably 2007, 2000, even earlier than that. And actually, one of my first courses was in 2006 on SEO. So I've been doing it well before that even. And the thing is, it's the same principle. It's quality content is always going to win out. And it's, everybody tries to game the system with new things. Like AI is no different than article spinners, which were there a few years ago. There's always some new hot trend, right? And so, you can still use AI, and you've got to give it good inputs to get the best thing. But ultimately, if you produce content people want, they're going to stay. It's a big part of the algorithm, because Google actually looks at the time somebody clicks on your website from a Google search. It's from the time they click on it, and then from the time that they come back to Google, hitting the back button, that is Google's timing your website to see how important it is. And so Google's kind of running this and going, okay, on average, people stay this long on this page. So the longer they stay, that means you're delivering the people good results, and that makes Google happy. So they're going to, of course, assume your content must be good if the average person sticks longer, and they're going to rank you higher. So if you want to rank well, for starters, it's have enough content that sounds good. You want to also, though, make that content short, bite-sized chunk paragraphs. If you give them long essays, nobody's going to want to read that, right? So it's got to be very short, bite-sized chunks. Bullet points work really well. Navigation on the pages work extremely well. The other thing that works great is adding in videos where it makes sense. I kind of tell people to look at news websites, major news websites all over the world. Whatever news website you read or look at, take a look at how they do it. They start with the headline, a video, and then right below it is either the summary of the video or it's the whole article, right? That's how you should structure your content, because that's going to structure for people to stick. And it works very well. And then you can layer in pictures and things to kind of offset it and get them to stay. But the longer you get them to stay, the better. And then also, like, incorporating keywords that make sense is one of the factors for ranking in Google. And then doing those long tail keywords Shreya talked about earlier are extremely important, because long tail keywords are much easier to rank for. A lot of people, let's say they're in the weight loss space, they'd be like, weight loss, and they're gonna try to rank for that. Well, you're not gonna rank for that. Or they're gonna rank for golf clubs, like that's near impossible if you're starting out. But golf training aid clubs or golf training clubs, that's a lot easier to rank for. Or weight loss supplements for people over 40, that's a lot easier to rank for. So those are the keywords you really want to hone in on your keyword research. And then you create really quality, good content around that. And that's how you're going to rank.
Okay, great tips. I don't know. I
Yeah.
wish I had known you before.
Yeah.
How do we get what are the client-centric marketing strategies that we should be using, and how can we tailor our blogs or our website pages or whatever to get more engagement?
Yeah, that's a great one. So, I'll let Shreya kind of share some on this, but I would say, ultimately, like, having a way for you to, to capture people's information, that's a great way to get them to engage with you long term. So if you have some sort of a lead magnet or something of value, so if you're talking about, let's say, golf clubs, then your lead magnet might be, 10 tips to be a better golfer, right? If you're selling golf clubs, and you want to give them something of value. So if they come through your content, you want to get them to engage with you and give up that email, so then you can follow up with them long term, and that works extremely well.
Yeah, so when you're creating your content, you should also measure your engagement with the content, whether it's on a blog post. Now it's easier, much easier to see the engagement on social media platforms. So an engagement doesn't just mean likes, it also means comments, and then you're responding to them. So it's very important to measure those things. Also, when you're creating content, we kind of touched earlier a little bit on user intent. Like, are they ready to purchase? You just don't want to, like Paul said, create one on golf. just for the heck of creating on golf because they have a lot of search volume, because that won't get you any results. And focusing on the right metrics too. So if you're looking at the Google, like Google traffic on your website, then how long are the people staying? Where are they staying? There's an amazing program called Instantly, is it called?
Yeah, it's a good
the
one.
One that tracks your page. It shows you what people
in
do.
Specklet.
In Specklet, sorry, in Specklet. And what it shows you is like what people do when they come to your website. So if they're coming to your website and they're trying to click on something and there's no call to action, if they're not scrolling down, all these things can be tracked and it's free. There's a paid thing too, but you really don't need it. You could use it for free, called InSpecLet. So that's another great tool to use as well. A lot of times people focus on the wrong stuff of, you know, how many views did I get? How much traffic we get? And when it comes to SEO, it's the quality of the traffic that you get. They're much more higher converting traffic because they're people ready to buy. They're ready to like, they're already looking for that information versus, 1 million impressions that you get from ad. You will not get 1 million impressions, but it's going to be much more targeted, like much better traffic.
I've always like my YouTube's channel has a lot of impressions on it, and which means I know that that's actually showing up on people's feed. I'm assuming that's what that means.
Yes.
However, how do we convert those impressions into buying customers?
Yeah,
that's
so
perfect.
You would bring them into your email list. So if there's no way, no matter which platform you're using, if you're not converting them and bringing them into your email list, then it's a miss because all roads lead to your landing page, which is giving them something where you're capturing their emails. And the real connection that you make, even though social media, we think it gives us the good, happy feeling, but the email list is your true asset. And that's where you're making your real connections. And years down the road, that's where you close majority of the business. It's the highest converting traffic is your email list. Believe it or not, I know people say people don't read emails anymore, but they do. Even if they're not interacting with it or not opening it, you never know. A year, 2 years down the road, someone will interact with the email that you put out. So any platform that you're using, make sure that you're getting them on your email list, getting them off that platform and into your email list.
Yeah, I think my question was, I think maybe I didn't word it
okay,
quite right,
sorry.
But so you've got someone's view, your thing is viewed on a channel, like YouTube channel. So your thumbnail showed up. But how do you get them to, they may click on it, they may watch the video, but how do you get them to buy from that particular impression on that channel?
Yeah, definitely. Like the best thing is make sure your content connects with your audience, right? So that comes from knowing your audience, knowing who you're serving, knowing who you're reaching. So the biggest thing there is really like, going out there and using the proper, keyword research, right? If you're using the right keywords and putting the right content in front of them, the intent of them is going to be much, much higher. And Shreya referenced the intent of the content, right? So if you just did like golf clubs, that's way too generic. But if you did golf clubs, golf training clubs, that's much more, what people would expect, right? They're going to expect to see a review of golf training clubs and not just generic golf clubs. So it makes your video convert that much better because now you're much more targeted with your content. And that generally is going to increase the likelihood of you getting a conversion out of it. Now, with that said, people take a lot of exposures before they buy. So that's where Shreya is talking about getting them to your email list some way, somehow, because that first time they watch your video, they may not buy, even though you have the best video in the world. People really want to trust people, before they do much. And so you really want to make sure you get that trust factor down.
Purchasing from social media is like purchasing candy when you're checking out at a grocery store and it's right there and it's an impulse purchase. So you're like, yes, let's go get that candy or gum or whatever it is. But having them on your email list and that you can remarket over and over again, now you're milk and you're bread because people are going in there Absolutely. To get that, or the purpose.
No, I understand all that process. It's just like, I wanted to clarify about, how you get from one to the other. And, it can be a bit of a trial and error thing, I suppose. I mean, you can have a huge email list, and as you say, they may not buy from you straight away, but they may have, and maybe not clicked on a link in there, but if they've got a reading pane, they'll read through the email anyway. And decide whether they want to keep it or delete it. But great points about email marketing, because you own that list and you don't own anything on social media. Doesn't matter what channel you're on or what platform you're on, get people on your email list. That's really, really important, because you own that list. You don't own anything else.
Absolutely.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah, it's such a critical piece, and I think it gets missed a lot because people like the ego of, I've got a huge following on social media and it looks good, but it's no good if their algorithm changes and then you've lost all your ranking, so it's an important thing to keep in mind.
Absolutely. Now, you can find Shreya and Paul on Facebook and on LinkedIn, and Paul, you can find him on LinkedIn and Facebook as well, and also on their website, which is marketingcounts.com. Now, is there anything else that you two would like to share with our audience today?
Yeah, the biggest thing I would say is, when you're marketing online, it can be very, it can seem stressful because you might not be getting the results you want right away. But the consistency is always the key. So that's always the part we've learned, is the more consistent you are at putting out content, the more traffic shows up. And I know it sounds basic, but that's why, if you do the keyword research, you're going to never run out of content ideas. And then, the thing that I've seen where people do it the best is they have a dedicated spot for recording their videos, they have a dedicated spot for making their content. And then it's easier to do that. They have it set up for them. So then it's just plug and play. And they know exactly, this is where I'm going to go to make this piece of content. So if you get to that point, you're going to be that much further ahead. It's going to be much easier.
Yeah. Consistency in anything, I think, is the key. If you want to get ahead in this world, it doesn't matter what you're doing. As long as you're consistent, you'll see results.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And it carries over in this business world too.
Absolutely. Paul and Shrey, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a ball.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.